Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very special guest, Julianne Hutskowitz, who is the Senior Vice President for the New York City Economic Development Corporation. Welcome. Such a pleasure to have you here with us.
Hi. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. So we are going to be discussing the Broadway Junction project. If you can just give us some background information on that.
Sure. I'm happy to. So first of all, just to ground everyone in the location, Broadway Junction is both a neighborhood and a transit destination. So it is the third busiest subway station in Brooklyn. It has 5 subway routes, 6 bus lines just outside the door, as well as a Long Island Railroad stop down the block at East New York Avenue. It's also the meeting point and intersection of 6 different neighborhoods, primarily residential neighborhoods, as well as the East New York Industrial Business Zone just to the south. We, EDC and the city, have been involved in Broadway Junction for quite some time now, looking at the opportunity to improve the area in and around the station. For those who aren't familiar with it, Broadway Junction station is very overcrowded, mm-hmm. has no ADA access today. I think the escalators, which are just a major issue for the community, has maybe even has their own Instagram account. It's really a difficult station for commuters to traverse. And then the area outside of the station, unfortunately, is predominantly characterized by parking lots and service transit uses. Is an important area for MTA with the East New York Bus Depot and rail yard there. So we have been engaging and involved in this area for quite some time and are thrilled to finally have over $100 million of city investment to go towards public realm improvements around Broadway Junction Station, and that includes 2 new public plazas totaling approximately 1 acre of new public open space, and then streetscape improvements on critical streets leading up to the station. That includes Van Sinderen Avenue between Fulton Street and Atlantic Avenue, and then Broadway from Jamaica to Truxton. MTA's involvement, which is $400 million of public investment, is primarily focused on the station itself. So as I just noted before, there's no ADA access at the station today. So that money will primarily go to 7 new elevators, which will provide ADA access to every line at the station, each platform, as well as a new station entrance on the east side of Van Sinderen Street across from the existing entrance, and then new escalators as well. So much needed public access and improvements at this very important station. So we're really excited to gather $500 million of public realm investment and transit investment here in Central and East Brooklyn.
So against this background of this $500 million public investment, how does this project align with the broader goals of the new New York Action Plan and its focus on creating economic opportunities and inclusive growth?
Certainly. So the new New York Action Plan, which was a city and state effort that was completed earlier this year, as well as the end of last year, very specifically looked at the city and the city's ability to recover post the COVID-19 pandemic, and recognized that a number of different neighborhoods, especially in the outer boroughs, had not seen the same level of public investment as neighborhoods in Manhattan. And the opportunity to really invest in and improve and create new hubs of activity in the outer boroughs. So Broadway Junction was specifically a neighborhood that was called out for this extraordinary transit access, but unfortunately also for the lack of investment that had been seen in this community and the need to change that, to secure funding to do that, and to work with the community to ensure that what we are building and investing in is something that they can participate in, enjoy, and benefit from. And that's what then also led to this May announcement of the $500 million of public investment across the city and MTA.
Okay, so looking at economic impact, Mayor Eric Adams mentioned an expected $11.6 billion in economic impact over the next 30 years. Can you elaborate on how this economic impact will be generated and what sectors or aspects of the community will benefit the most?
Certainly. So when the city does these economic impact analyses, we look at a number of different inputs. So that includes planned public and private investment. So the $500 million of public investment that I've been discussing, that's central to our project today. As well as private investment that is planned, so that also includes new housing, mm-hmm. new office development. One thing to note that we are planning for the area, it's actually in construction right now, is a new office development through the city's CARE strategy. CARE stands for City Agencies Revitalizing the Economy. And the plan there is just across the street from Broadway Junction Station, there will be a new commercial development that is anchored by the city, specifically Department of Social Services, that will create new office development, new retail space on the ground floor, and really activate this corner just across the street from Broadway Junction. But to get to your question at hand, all of those inputs from construction dollars and jobs associated and planned with those investments, both public and private investment, as well as permanent jobs associated with the investment, like those office jobs and retail jobs that are anticipated as part of that private investment, are then analyzed and looked across a 30-year time horizon. And that's how we get the total economic impact of all of those mm-hmm. taxes and anticipated growth, how that will come to the city as a result of all of these projects.
So you mentioned construction, and looking at job creation, the project is expected to generate over 2,300 construction jobs. How will the city ensure that these jobs are accessible to local residents, and what measures are in place to prioritize local hiring? And also, if you can share any details on any training programs or initiatives to prepare the local workforce for the job opportunities created by this investment.
Sure. So those 2,300 construction jobs, again, pertain to both jobs directly coming out of the city's public realm investment, totaling about $115 million. As well as the $400 million of MTA investment. And so we are each responsible for creating jobs and construction jobs associated with those two major public realm and public improvement projects. Specifically, we're really excited at the opportunity to expand community hiring through the community hiring legislation that is going through the government's approval right now. It's before the governor, Governor Hochul, and that will enable the city and EDC to really leverage investments in Broadway Junction by requiring contractors to offer employment opportunities, as well as make best efforts to employ qualified, economically disadvantaged job seekers and residents from economically disadvantaged communities, or NYCHA. The communities surrounding Broadway Junction are economically disadvantaged communities. Mm-hmm. And so we are confident that we will have the opportunity to require our future contractors as we advance construction of this project to hire locally. Now, to support that and ensure that those job seekers have access and are ready to access those jobs, there's obviously a lot of training and workforce development that needs to take place. And so to ensure that we are ready for that, EDC and the city will work very closely with the East New York Workforce One Center that was opened back in 2016 as a result of the former East New York rezoning. They are a great resource for the community and provide direct trainings to job seekers as well as connections from businesses who are looking for job seekers. And they also work with other community-based organizations that do this type of training and will help job seekers get ready to access these jobs through unique construction training, whether that's things like safety in a workforce and construction environment called OSHA training, a lot of different elements that we're excited to advance as part of our project, working with our agency partners at the Mayor's Office of Workforce and Talent, as well as the Department of Small Business Services.
Okay, so I know earlier on you mentioned the open space that's going to be, the plan includes $95 million for public realm improvements. Can you share any specific details about the planned improvements?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And one note for your listeners, that number has increased, which we're really excited about. So over the summer, we succeeded in being awarded a grant from the federal government, Federal Department of Transportation, thanks to the efforts of Congressman Hakeem Jeffries and Senator Chuck Schumer, of an additional $20 million of federal funding to go toward these public realm investments. And specifically, that brings the total to $115 million. So just to share more detail, and I have to just say personally, this is an area, a community that I've worked in my entire 12-year career at EDC. And frankly, what has always been the difficult thing for us and for myself working in this community is that we had never succeeded in getting funding. And we knew that that was critical to really give the community the services and the public realm improvements that they so greatly deserve. And it's so exciting to finally have a real significant amount of public investment to really change the area from what is today, you know, it's safe to say, a degraded sidewalk, a lot of issues of illegal dumping, dangerous intersections to traverse, a lot of public safety concerns, which we have heard time and time again as we have started a community engagement process with the public and hearing from them, you know, top priorities of those issues of public safety and cleanliness in their community. So we're really excited to be able to help change that through these public investments. And so just to explain them more, there are two public plazas. The two public plazas are located on Catty Corner, the northwest corner of Fulton Street and Van Sinderen, and then the southeast corner of Fulton and Van Sinderen Street. Today, those corners are actually occupied by NYPD. And the area right adjacent to the station, which is where we really want to make a gateway to Broadway Junction Station, that today is blocked off from the subway. NYPD maintains an existing transit police station there. And it's a really narrow sidewalk, which instead should be a beautiful public space outside of the station. You see vendors there today. They don't have sufficient space on the street. A lot of people are actually queuing on this street to get into the bus because this is an intermodal hub. So we're really excited to create a place that has a space for respite, you know, hopefully shade trees, new lighting for sure, seating, vending, really making this a space that the community can activate all times of year, which is very exciting. And that will primarily be achieved through redeveloping and transforming this corner right outside of the station, as well as relocating transit police, their station nearby, to likely a private development site. They will still, of course, maintain presence within the station to provide critical public safety needs to the community and this subway station. And then just across the street, the other public plaza, specifically today, is a parking lot. A lot of the area is surface parking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can imagine there's high barbed wire fencing, overgrown vegetation. It's really an inhospitable place to walk, and it's not accessible to the public. So we're going to be activating that corner with new public open space by relocating those cars that park there today. And really excited to create these new two public plazas just outside of the station. And then when you look at the streets, so that $150 million will also go to the streetscape improvements. Today, they're really dangerous intersections, unfortunately. Poor sight lines for pedestrians. Broadway, which is partly due to the federal grant that we received, we're able to add in a new street segment on Broadway. Broadway is a Vision Zero priority corridor for the Department of Transportation. And so really excited to be able to make safer crossings through, you know, raised crosswalks, bump outs where you actually take part of the road and reduce the crossing for pedestrians. And then really trying to improve some of the negative conditions. So, you know, installing new lighting, installing new seating, new plantings and shade trees. We think this will be really beneficial to the community to improve the look and feel of this area for residents, commuters, and visitors alike.
So one of the concerns when there are big projects is that small and minority-owned businesses don't normally get a share of it. We know that the city plans to set aside a minimum of 35% of design and construction contracts for minority and women-owned business enterprises, MWBEs. How will the city encourage and support local businesses to become MWBE certified? And can you share information on the Construction NYC program and how it will benefit small and mid-sized firms in the area?
Certainly, I'm happy to. So, really ensuring that these public dollars go to the local community and lift up local businesses is a critical part of the overall plan for Broadway Junction. So specifically, I mentioned before the East Newark Industrial Business Zone. That is an area just south of Broadway Junction that has been an industrial hub for, over a century. And there are a lot of construction-related firms that work in that community. And there's a real opportunity to work with them locally, as well as ensure that we're focused on minority and women-owned businesses who have, you know, access to these public dollars that will be afforded to them through new contracts for design and construction that are anticipated as part of the project. So we have a lot of work cut out for us to make sure that we are reaching these businesses locally. We're making sure that those who are eligible to be certified into the city's minority and women-owned business certification program are certified, and that's through a partnership with the Department of Small Business Services. And then we also need to make sure that we are giving them technical assistance and other training so that they are prepared to respond to requests for proposals as they become available for our project as well as other projects across the city. This is not the only project that the New York City Economic Development Corporation works on, and so that's where programs like Construct NYC come in. So specifically, that's a program that targets small to mid-sized minority and women-owned businesses that work in the construction trades. And specifically, they'll receive technical assistance. And then at the end of the process, the program, they are actually pre-qualified to work on EDC projects. So they'll have a leg up in the bidding of these types of projects. So we've already started that process. There's a forthcoming cohort of the program in spring of 2024, and have been working with local organizations like the East Brooklyn BID, BACnet, that actually provide services to the industrial business zone and those businesses to make sure that they are aware of all of these different programs that are available to them.
So one aspect that is sometimes overlooked or doesn't have as much priority as it should is community involvement. How has the community been involved in the decision-making process for this project, and what mechanisms are in place to ensure ongoing community input? And also, in what ways is the project designed to address the specific needs and priorities expressed by the residents of East New York?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question, Pearl. I agree that unfortunately the community is often overlooked when projects of this scope and size are developed and announced. And to counteract that, we've been pounding the pavement in the community. We can still do more, and actually would appreciate through your efforts through this wonderful podcast to get the word out of forthcoming engagement. And Council Member Sandy Nurse, who's the council member for Broadway Junction, has been an extraordinary partner to the city, as well as an advocate for her community to make sure that the community's voice is heard throughout engagement. So as I said at the onset of our talk, we announced this investment back in May. And since then, we've done a number of different things. We launched an online survey that is really targeted at asking the community, as well as others, you know, commuters and visitors alike, what do they want to see as part of this investment in Broadway Junction? What do they want to prioritize in terms of those two new public plazas and streetscape improvements? And that's where we've started to hear issues around illegal dumping, as well as public safety and the need for lights, for example. So we'd love to share out that survey link so we can get the word out there more. We've also been working in partnership with the council member's office to table, just make sure that we have a presence in the community on a regular basis. So, you know, standing in Callahan Kelly Park, just behind the station, as well as in front of the station. I'll admit it's not the easiest time to get people, right, when they're commuting in and out. Everyone wants to rush to work or rush home, but really trying to pass out flyers so people are aware of the investment that's forthcoming, the job and business development opportunities that are forthcoming, as well as the forthcoming community engagement sessions that we have planned for this community. And just to iterate upon those, that includes, we had our first public info session just 2 weeks back in the community. We had, I would say, about 60 plus attendees. Again, that was with Council Member Sandy Nurse, as well as our Chief Public Realm Officer, Yating Liu, and other city agencies and MTA in attendance to speak to the overall investment and the opportunity. And then tomorrow night, we will be having actually our first virtual public info session. So really excited, you know, to try to offer for people in person as well as virtual sessions, understanding that, you know, it's hard to get out, especially during the winter on a weeknight. So more will be coming, just to plug in January. Again, would love to work with you to promote those forthcoming events. But in January, we'll have some public info sessions that are targeted to actually workforce development and business development opportunities, as well as a more detailed planning session on the public realm investment.
Great. So, you know, we always have to consider the environment, and looking at sustainability and innovation, are there any specific sustainability or innovation features incorporated into the project, considering the broader environmental goals of the city? And how does the project align with the city's broader vision for sustainable and resilient urban development?
Yeah, this is a great question, and something that the New York City Economic Development Corporation, the city, is extraordinarily focused on, not as a one-off. How do we integrate sustainability goals into all of our projects, and especially focused on construction projects? So there are a number of different ways that we've already discussed with the council member her priorities and opportunities to integrate into the project. So things we've heard is, you know, let's look at solar lighting. Let's look at composting. Obviously, we are making an existing dense, transit-rich neighborhood more accessible, and that is a huge bonus. But can we look at ways to encourage more micro-mobility? So whether that's, you know, scooters or e-bikes and bike lanes to access the station. And then through our construction efforts, we've also been exploring a lot of different ways to focus on the circular economy. So that includes the recycling of construction waste to make sure that we are not just adding to, you know, dumping that happens in the city, and really trying to minimize our carbon footprint when we look at construction projects, which unfortunately can be very large in terms of that carbon footprint. So that includes, you know, recycling materials that are no longer needed, and looking through the city's projects to find ways to achieve that. So that's just a small sample of things that we'll be exploring as part of the project.
Great. So finally, partnerships and collaboration. The project involves collaboration between the New York City Economic Development Corporation, NYC EDC, and the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, MTA. How are these organizations working together to ensure the success of the Broadway Junction Initiative? And are there any plans for continued collaboration with other city agencies and organizations to support the project's long-term success?
Yeah, it's a great question, and something that we're really focused on. So as noted at the onset, this is really a city and state project. The city is focused, obviously, on the $150 million investment in public realm improvements, the two plazas and streetscape improvements just outside of the station. But it's so important because that work is leveraged by and really maximized by the work that's happening inside the station. So MTA's $400 million investment in the station. So there will be a significant amount of coordination between our agency and MTA as we think about how these two construction projects will ultimately move in tandem together. And really, before we even get into construction, how do we focus on design integration, right, between the station improvements and then what's happening outside of the station? But then on the city side, it's really not just the New York City Economic Development Corporation. So we are implementing the project on behalf of the city, but we are working in conjunction with agencies like Department of Parks and Recreation, who will likely be managing one of the plazas, Department of Transportation, because a lot of the streetscape work is happening in the right-of-way, and so very much within the Department of Transportation's jurisdiction. So making sure that we are building things that fit the standards of those agencies while, again, not limiting us on opportunity and design. And then from the workforce lens, as I spoke to before, we'll be working in lockstep with Department of Small Business Services to ensure that businesses and job seekers have opportunities to access this investment through contracting and local hiring and all the opportunities that will be coming down the pike as this project advances, as well as the Mayor's Office of Workforce and Talent that very specifically runs the Office of Community Hiring that will be focused on those goals of making sure that job seekers are aware and can apply to these jobs and are ready for the jobs once they come available through the future construction project.
So how can one get more information or updates on the Broadway Junction Initiative?
Thank you so much, Pearl, for that question. So we maintain a landing page on EDC's website. That is edc.nyc/Broadway Junction. And there you'll have access to upcoming events that are planned for our project as we engage with the community and broader public on this investment, as well as the online survey that I mentioned before. So I really appreciate your listeners taking a look and getting involved.
Thank you so much. Julianne Herskovitz, Senior Vice President for the New York City Economic Development Corporation. Thanks for sharing this great information with us, and we look forward to having you back again.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
People Power and Politics, Hard Talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.